Good evening, everyone, and welcome to week 11, and that means chapter 11 of the 12-week Unleash Tapping into the Divine Flow Behind the Book conference call. Before we move forward, let me first announce that next week, Thursday, the 12th week, we are going to move the 12th chapter to the week after next. So it won't be next week, which is the 24th. But it will be the next week. So next week we're going to have our only break off, and then we will continue with the final chapter, and you don't want to miss it, the eight powers that God gives us to do great things, okay? This week we're talking about a topic that I really must apologize for not telling you about this even earlier. I made a huge mistake of not sharing this before, but guess what? It's chapter 11. So I can share it now. Humility is so essential to staying in the divine flow. I really can't underscore it as much as I did in the book, which, I mean, speaks for itself. On page 160, starting out talking about some viaducts in aqueducts in Istanbul, Turkey, that in ancient times used to bring water to the cities of Rome. But some of those aqueducts are still standing. And when you look at the aqueducts, it looks like they're perfectly straight. But when you actually do research, you find out that there is about a 0.5 degree slant. And what that means is it's just enough to keep the water flowing in one direction, but when you look at it, it looks level. And what I share to underscore this point of humility is that when water is flowing, like the divine flow from heaven, water seeks out the lowest point. So if you have water, it will always find its way to the lowest point. And in the same way, the glory, the power of God usually finds itself in the lowest places. It finds itself where the high and mighty aren't. It finds itself where people have made themselves low. For the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And I ask the question here, have you ever seen a truly humble person and see how gracefully they are, how when they walk, flowers seem to unfold around them. People begin to smile. People appreciate their presence. There's no apprehension or there's no snickering when a truly humble person comes into your presence because they have a way of bringing that godly grace with them. And I share that it's because humble people, in paragraph 2 on page 161, humble people don't live their lives from earth, but they live their lives from heaven. And what that simply means is they've realized that they cannot put their trust in earthly things or earthly systems. So they have learned to live their life from, and that is trusting in the resources of heaven through our Lord. On the other hand, in contrast to this beautiful element of the divine flow of humility, pride is one of the greatest disqualifiers for the divine flow. And I'm reading from paragraph 3, a section in on page 161. Do you know why, or do you want to know why? Pride, simply put, spotlights everything that is wrong with the human condition. It enables all of the other sins committed. It's the source of every trespass, from telling a white lie to save face, to taking someone's life because you just don't think they deserve to live. It's responsible for all the broken dreams and ended careers. It's the agent of a downfall. Pride is most dangerous because it usually leaves a trail of destruction behind it. People usually hurt others, betray others, belittle others, disrespect others, or dishonor others in the wake of unchecked pride. As you can see, pride really has to be checked. I heard once that pride is like your spirit is like a garden, and pride are like weeds. And if you don't pull out the weeds, it'll take over your life. And I have on page 162 three questions that really we all have to ask ourselves if we want to find out why there's a blockage, because pride creates such a blockage to the divine flow. In fact, I believe, this is my personal conviction, but I believe writer's block is unchecked, it's a symptom caused by unchecked pride. And even asking these following three questions that I'm about to ask, you can break through any blockage in your life. Number one, where might I have tried to exalt myself above measure, according to Romans 12 and 3, that we ought not to think more highly than we are. Number two, did I hurt someone recently because I felt I was right? And number three, did I dishonor or disrespect a leader or person that I respected? Those are three questions that will help you to find out and pinpoint any blockage you have to the divine flow. And it's worked for me. It happened for me where just asking these questions, maybe not in the specific way I outlined here, but in my own way, a derivative of it, I found out what I needed to do to make things right so that I could get right back under that faucet so that God can pour in his revelation and his inspiration and it be unhindered and uninhibited in my life. Next, I share on page 162, paragraph 3, that we have these treasures in earthen vessels, and humility is like a surge of drain cleaner that clears the clutter and the plaque from the pipes so that the flow could be consistent and continual. But we have a choice, and God gives us this choice. You can either choose to humble yourself, or you can go through what I share a little lower or a little further in the paragraph. You can go through humbling experiences, and these humbling experiences are usually painful, and I explain as I read. Other times, humility can be a terrifying realization, penetrating our most inner parts like an industrial-strength plumber snake. It burrows deep into our emotional center, grinding away at our ego. Have you ever had a humbling experience where you thought you were in a certain place, but then life came and just smacked you off that horse, and all of a sudden you had a scar, a memory, you had a milestone, a relic, a landmark in your mind that reminded you, oh, never get back on that horse because it means trouble. Humility and humbling experiences come to make sure we do not puff ourselves up beyond measure. And I'll explain what humility is, and I give a visual on page 163. Imagine you're walking around on a city sidewalk, a city street, and you're on face level, eye level with everyone you're walking with. It's a busy sidewalk in a metropolitan area, and people with briefcases, women running for the train, men walking their dogs, what have you. And all of a sudden, you having perfectly healthy knees, healthy legs, having a perfectly healthy body, choose to get down on your knees and walk on that city sidewalk on your knees. Now, obviously, when people see you, a very healthy, very able body, walking on their knees, immediately you begin to stand out. Some people will even think you're crazy. And isn't that the case sometimes when humility really shines? People consider you crazy because you're not living your life from earth. But what I share is that even though everyone is looking strangely at you on your knees when you should be walking around at eye level with everyone else, You should be walking in the place that, hey, you have right to walk in eye level because your legs are working, right? But what I share is that there is a glorious vantage point in humility. You see, when you're down on your knees, sure, you look like a laughing stock. When you humble yourself, sure, some people might want to take advantage of you because you're submitting your will, you're submitting your life to the Lord, and you're living from heaven. And you're not fighting and being, having a warlike spirit to defend your worth, but your worth is hidden God. So what happens is, even though people are laughing at you, from your vantage point, in order for you to look up at a person, what's in the background? The sky. But what else is behind that person? I share that when you humble yourself and you look at individuals, you look at things that you normally would look at your own vantage point, you're looking up. And behind every person you look at, you have a perfect vantage point to see the Lord. You have a perfect vantage point to see him in everything, every conversation, every experience, every interaction, and every relationship you engage in. So again, my beloved, the choice is yours. Walk around looking at everyone at eye level, or get down on your knees and walk around on your knees. And of course, I'm symbolizing, and you know, this is not real. I'm not telling you to walk on your knees for real. But choose to lower yourself so that everyone you interact with, you can get a better vantage point to see God in the background. I share on page 165 that pride was a deal breaker for me, and humility is a deal maker for me. Dealing in my own personal business, whenever I sat with a client, I usually shunned away from clients who were too proud. And you have to understand, my business required me to be, in a sense, married to a client for the lifetime of the project, would be 2 months or 3 months while I was creating their brand. And so it meant a lot more to me to know that the person I was working with, or that I was going to enter into this relationship with, this business relationship with, had a foundation of humility. If I felt, you know, there was a little too much name dropping, or the person came and sucked all the air out of the room, I usually gracefully, you know, just let them know, hey, maybe we're not seeing eye to eye, and maybe your business is better off somewhere else. Again, some people might say, man, you're stupid. Money is money. But when you submit who you are and what you have to the Lord, then you're able to get a different vantage point. And sure, you might sound crazy at times, but the question is it worth it? Is it worth it to deal with or be connected with someone who has so much pride and really bring that strife and tension into your life? Or is it better to move around with individuals who bring with them the grace of humility? And in closing, on page 166, I share a most fascinating fact, that God chooses to spend his time with humble people. The word of the Lord says in Isaiah 57, verse 15, that the Lord, he delights to spend his time in the high and holy place. Now listen to how it sounds, or listen to how it's said. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. My brothers and sisters, that settled it for me. I said, Lord, say no more. I get it. I'm there. Humility is my pursuit for the rest of my life. If that's where God is, that's where I want to be. If that's where God can be found, that's where I want to be. So once I read that verse, I realized where the Lord chose to spend his time. So I made up in my mind that I would seek humility, as it is a key element to tapping into the divine flow.